So to kick us off with DC news, because there's, you know, a bunch right now.
You're gonna do me like that without us doing an official intro. What does this podcast come to?
I know, I forgot.
You forgot? You're the gosh darn host of this show.
We all are.
Oh, that's right. We're all having a quad way right now.
And I'm running on not even a full cup of coffee. I've been taking all day to drink it. I napped a lot.
When are you not running on full fumes, William?
I just don't care anymore.
Asher doesn't care anymore. His heart is out of it. He's vibing. We also have Geller here. That's a weird intro. I'll start us off properly. I'm 1/4 of your heralds of pop culture. Welcome back to the heralds. My name is Harrison Hopkins. Sitting to my left right now in my lovely dorm room is...
Jacob. What's up?
We got Jacob Geller back, and we'll let the Wiggies do their intro.
It's Asher.
And Will Wiggy over here.
We have the heralds to full effect. Now, Will, hit us with the news.
So the Batman series spinoff that they had set for HBO Max that was going to tell the story of the GCPD pivots to Arkham Asylum.
Post-2020.
So we get to learn about Arkham instead of the cops.
I will say we will talk quite in depth about the Caped Crusader later in this episode.
Yes, we will. In that whole universe.
I am kind of happy about this news, because when they said they were doing a GCPD show, I was like, so you're doing Gotham?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, what other thing would it be?
Yeah, and they said it was going to be year one of Batman, and I was like, do I really want to, like, go further back in time with Batman? I kind of want to go more forward with this character.
Well, to add on to that, we also get a Penguin and Catwoman show.
I didn't hear about the Catwoman one. I only heard that the Penguin one officially got greenlit.
Yeah, Zoe Kravitz is getting one, too.
Okay, I mean, there's that really... I'm sorry I'm talking so much. I just have a lot to talk about when it comes to Batman. There's that really good spinoff comic called Catwoman, When in Rome. So I hope they kind of do that, because she can be in Bloodhaven, which sets up at the end of the movie. But I'd almost be okay if they take this international, like her going to Rome like she did in the comics.
Oh, yeah.
Could be cool. I think I've expressed this thought many times before, but do we really need, like... 18 different spin-off series just from one successful movie?
No.
I would hope not.
I don't think we need spin-off movies, but for those characters, I'm okay with the spin-off show. Because, like, Peacemaker doesn't need a good movie, but they're like, let's just give him a fun little show. And I think that worked great. So if you want to use these shows to give, like, lesser, like, bigger characters the spotlight, that's fine. Just don't put a movie about them.
Yeah, well, see, Peacemaker, I feel like, is a different topic because... That was James Gunn was so passionate about that character, he wanted to give him his own show. It feels like with this, it's more just like the studio trying to pump out more content rather than like these, you know, this content being from a source of passion.
But do you not remember how great it was last time we got a solo Catwoman product? I mean, Halle Berry.
Oh, my God. I feel like I haven't seen that. I don't know if I'm the only one here who hasn't seen that movie.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I refuse.
Okay.
She wasn't even Selena Kyle. She was Patience something.
Yeah, Patience Prudence or something.
Patience Prudence.
Something.
What?
I don't know.
Geller, are you guys ready to sigh in disappointment?
Okay. Hit us with the disappointments, I guess.
So, we have... For the DCCW's Gotham Knights show.
Oh, God.
Tyler DeChar has been cast... Fallon Smythe was cast as Harper Rowe, a.k.a. Bluebird. And Tyler DeChara has been cast as her brother, Cullen Rowe. Oscar Morgan as Turner Hayes, who I've never heard of. Like, I don't know who that character is. And then Nevaeh Robinson as Carrie Kelly. Ginger side again, boys. Nevaeh Robinson just got done playing Raven Simone's daughter in the That's So Raven spinoff.
They could put an orange wig on her, right?
No, they won't.
Anything to do with red or orange in Hollywood is just...
I was going to say, let's let Geller talk about this as a fellow gone. Ginger. Let's let him express his anger. They're killing his culture.
It's just one character at a time.
Yeah. Is there any ginger character in comics they actually kept ginger?
In
Yeah. Oh, Amber Heard. Unfortunately, like, you know, I guess Amber Heard isn't really ginger, but they still. Well, what was that chick from Aqua?
Mara.
Aquamara. Yeah, they kept her ginger.
Yeah, was that a wig on her though?
Definitely a
wig.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think she's a redhead in real life.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's never.
It's unfortunate because it's Amber Heard. So.
Yeah. Let's never give her any credit on this podcast.
She doesn't count.
So then we got a. God, these names suck. Just because I can't pronounce anything that's not English. Bruna Marquezine, Melissa Escobedo, and Harvey Gillian, who I do know him of, all joined the cast of Blue Beetle for HBO Max.
That's exciting because that property is moving forward. But I literally thought you were about to say, ooh, I'm bad with the names. Let me try this. Bruno Mars.
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh God.
There you go. Yeah, nice one, yeah. Will. That was, I could see your passion towards trying to say that.
Then we got a bunch of the DC schedule for released movies kind of went topsy turvy recently.
Don't get me started.
They delayed their hit animated movie coming out, DC's League of the Super Pets, to July 29th. Black Adam to October 21st.
Yeah, that's the only one I care about, so that's annoying that it got delayed.
Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
Shut up.
To December 16th.
Shut up.
2022.
All right, fine, you said.
That Avatar 2 shall feel the fury of the gods.
We are going to have such an intense December debate when this crap actually rolls out, and I... You remember when we did this, Will, when it was like, if Kong wins, Godzilla wins, you know, you got to be called Ralph Boner or whatever?
Yeah.
We're doing that again with this.
Oh, that means me and Asher need to pick sides.
I was going to say, we're doing this. If Fury of the Gods can make half of the money Avatar does, I lose.
Like I said, Fury of the Gods is going to be riding off the coattails of Black Adam, October to December.
I'm going to say it. Literally, I'm going to say opening weekend Avatar, 200 million opening weekend. I'm going to say it right now.
Shazam's going to hit a billion. We both know.
It is not going to join
even
the show. You can eat
even
my...
I don't have that much faith.
Shazam is not going to make it in
it
the
is
billion.
Not going to join there's the billion-dollar no club. You can eat
okay.
My...
Okay. What would you do if it somehow managed to beat Endgame in a weird, bizarre way?
Avatar 2 is not only going to join the billion-dollar club, it's going to join the $2 billion club.
But nobody cares about the movie.
Yeah, I need to rewatch the first one because I don't even remember the plot of that movie.
I rewatch it like, once a year and I treat it like church.
Treat it like church.
I'll rewatch it. I need to.
But to be fair, myself. Anytime James Cameron comes out with like a movie like the Titanic or the Avatar, everyone thinks it's gonna flop, and then it was one of the biggest movies of all time.
Thank you. James Cameron's my favorite director.
Let me do a little experiment real quick.
James Cameron should have been able to direct that Spider-Man movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Doc Ock.
That would have been amazing.
Leo DiCaprio as Spider-Man, it should have happened.
I didn't know that was supposed to be a thing.
Yeah, but it got trashed because they didn't like the direction he was taking the character because there was going to be a really graphic, intense love scene between him and Mary Jane on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh,
awesome.
Very graphic.
Where he was going to, like, really? Web up.
Nice.
he was going to shoot his webs all over the place.
Like, it was literally going to be, like, it was going to make
the last thing that James Cameron actually directed... I can scroll down far enough. There we go. Was Taruk the First Flight, Titanic deleted scenes.
Titanic deleted scenes. Shut up.
The man's done nothing but wrote Alita Battle Angel, which didn't make as much money as it should have.
Well, it's because he wrote it and directed it.
James Cameron has been in his submarine for the past 12 years. Leave him alone.
He spent all that time working on Avatar 2 and I guess all the other movies to come afterward.
You mean yes. Avatar 2 through 5?
2 through 5, yeah.
He has 2 and 3 done, and he's currently working on 4 and 5.
But you know what makes me laugh harder, Harrison?
What?
Is not only did I get a Shazam movie before you got your Flash movie, I get a second Shazam movie before you get your Flash movie.
Getting a good Flash movie. Because
Flash got slated June 23rd.
Come on, guys, just hit me with it. Geller's already calling that the movie's going to be trash. You're making fun of the fact that a character like Shazam has gotten two movies before the Flash has gotten one.
And the Flash's one is going to be... Oh, boy.
You don't want to talk about the fact Harley Quinn got a movie before the Flash?
She got three movies before the Flash.
Practically. Aquaman of the Lost Kingdom, which no one wants to watch anyway. March 17th, 2023.
Maybe I'll watch.
Blue Beetle is August 13th, 2023.
I want to watch Aquaman 2 just in the fact that I'm going to turn the Amber Heard scenes into a drinking game.
I'm just going to watch Black Manta scenes and then turn it off.
I'm here for Black Manta, and that's about it.
I'm gonna be like, every time Amber Heard's on screen, we have to take a poop in someone's bed. Go.
And then Young Justice Season 4 Part 2 is returning March 31st.
Yay.
All right, now here's where we can be happy.
Oh, okay.
Are you guys ready for happiness and joy?
I don't know if Asher will be able to actually feel emotion, but let's try it.
Yeah.
Right now, from Murphy's Multiverse is pretty reliable. Daredevil is currently working, or Disney Plus is currently working on a Daredevil series.
Yes.
Which also comes off the backbone of the fact that all the Defender shows have officially dropped on Disney Plus.
Okay, now when's Ghost Rider show dropping?
Oh my god, I'm sorry, we're 15 minutes into this podcast and we haven't talked about Ghost Rider
yet. I feel like I haven't, you know, it's been too long since I've said something about it, so it's just like, you know, hurry up, Disney. I'm waiting. I've been waiting since I was like 10. So
we're getting your Kraven the Hunter movie, which Christopher Abbott was cast as the villain, the foreigner.
Oh my gosh. Kraven the Hunter's gonna start beating up foreigners.
Yo.
Let's go.
Kraven's gonna
What's go. Worse is this dude is white and he's named the Foreigner.
If it wasn't based off the fact that Kraven's whole thing is poaching, now he's definitely gonna get canceled.
Oh yeah.
Deadpool 3 hires director Sean Levy.
Well, of course,
Free Guy.
Oh.
Adam Project.
Need to watch that.
Adam, I was gonna say, we've officially decided if it's Adam Levy, it has to be Ryan Reynolds in the lead. They're like, boom.
Sean Levy.
They're boom. They're a pair now, so that's fine because they can work together well. That's cool. Just as long as it's not PG-13.
All right. So then, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland have a huge possibility of appearing in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1.
No.
And as the director said it, wink, wink, which could also bring us our MCU Miles Morales.
Huh.
I mean, that'd be an interesting way to introduce it, like, through into the Spider-Verse.
Now, think about it. Kevin Feige called this part of the Marvel Universe, the MCU, the Multiverse Saga. If they're bouncing around in one animated movie, it makes sense for him to end up in the MCU at some point.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all they're doing is messing with the multiverse this time around.
I think
around.
This should also go with the news that Will Smith says that his son, Jaden Smith, has been working on a very big project and training very intensely, and it's going to be a big surprise for everyone in store for it. So who knows? Maybe Jaden Smith is going to be our Miles Morales.
You know why I want for Miles?
I'm thinking.
And Will Smith could be Aaron Davis.
What was that, Harry?
I said Will Smith could be Aaron Davis the Prowler, but I guess that's already childish.
Well, he could play his dad.
Yeah, he could play easily.
Smith could play Jaden Smith.
He could play Jefferson Davis, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense.
Here's my thing. The two people I want for Miles Brown from Blackish, she was the guy twin. Or have you guys seen the new Cobra Kai, the new season?
The Nerdy Kid?
What new season?
I
didn't watch the rest of the season. I just watched him get cyberbullied.
He got cyberbullied, and then he went on Michael Myers horror movie on these kids, locked them in the library, turned them off, swung through a bookshelf, knocking them in the face.
Jeez, I mean...
he was jumping around like Miles would have. It was just kicking tail.
I would want to do that, too, if I got tricked into meeting my World of Warcraft crush in full cosplay And it's just a bunch of kids from my school making fun of me. That was what happened in Cobra Kai. That was absolutely unfortunate for that guy.
Not, the man turns the lights off and does the creepiest whistle to scare the bullies and then just goes nuts. He starts throwing books and then hides. He's fighting from the shadows like he's some mini Batman.
That's crazy.
Then he joined Cobra Kai. I can't remember.
Yeah. That was after joining Cobra Kai.
Yeah, that was just what's his face? Johnny's kid just training him before Cobra Kai.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Johnny's in the show.
Johnny Lawrence.
I need to watch this if Johnny Sins is in the show.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll come in with like his own dojo or something.
I'm sure he'll be like, I'm a doctor. Dojo. Not
the Brazzers dojo.
You guys know we're PG-13, right? If
there are people of that age watching the show, they should just be like, I wonder who that is. I have no idea who that is.
Let me look him up. I'm sure nothing bad and traumatizing is going to happen.
Don't look him up. Sad. I love his movies. I mean, what? I mean, I love his movies.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of great movies.
Guys, it's time for quite the emotional roller coaster because it's Sad Boy Hours.
Oh, good.
Hours.
William Hurt, General Thunderbolt Ross, died at 71 years old.
We could never see him as the Red Hulk.
I know.
And then to be even more depressed,
really this
trailer.
Oh no, not the Miss Marvel trailer. That's even more tragic.
Oh, we're gonna talk about the Miss Marvel.
That's even more. I'm not passionate about the character, so I'm just gonna give it a chance. If it's good when it comes out, that's good. If it's not, whatever. I'm not. The actress seems like a cool person, but other than that, I'm just really not interested in the character.
Name the one character you hate the most from your favorite franchise.
One character. From, like, my favorite franchise. Huh?
That you get real passionate about, that you can just go on and on about why it's a bad character.
Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat.
She is my Liu Kang.
Really?
Yeah.
Guys, come on. She's a big character for representation. I'm talking about a hero from New Jersey.
Yes,
she's... Yeah, okay, Harry.
That's great that she's... the first Muslim superhero, but let's talk about Jersey.
Why does Will... Will
Geller wants to know why you dislike the character.
Because you know how we always make fun of the Marvel fans and the fangirls and the little fan whatevers?
Yeah, how that's like...
That makes you creepy and weird. And
it's like she's just like a weird, creepy fangirl type of thing.
On steroids.
You know what? I'm going to say it, though. Good use of the song Blinding Lights.
Yeah.
I wish I was blinded.
This doesn't turn into just bash on Miss Marvel, the show, let's just talk about stuff about the trailers that, you know, we can discuss about, like, you know, let's go now. Her powers are different than they are in the comics. You know, she's got more... holographic projection powers.
I mean, I really like the Disney Plus logo at the beginning.
You know what? What if I just mute him? Okay, Geller, talk.
Mute him. Okay, so basically, like, the only thing I don't like about her is how, like, she has the entire Marvel Universe to be a fangirl of, and she picks the worst possible character to be a fangirl of.
That's fair.
That one slight thing annoys me. Okay, keep going now, Asher.
Oh, wait, you guys didn't mute me?
No, I'm sorry. We would never mute you, honey. I will say something that intrigues me is that they most definitely changed Ms. Marvel's powers in the show.
That's what I'm talking about.
Coming from her bracelet.
It's
not only a bracelet, and normally it's Terrigen Mist, but they're going away with Terrigen Mist because they're afraid of the Inhumans, which is whatever. But normally she just has them, like, goopy, stretchy arms. And it kind of looks like she has big, goopy, stretchy arms, but also, like, Captain Marvel.
They're light projections.
They're, like, light projections. So that's interesting. I'm kind of more for that than the bracelet. I don't like bracelet. Like, why?
Huh?
Like, I'm okay with, like, the projection powers, but why is it a bracelet?
Doesn't she just have, stretchy powers in the comics?
Yeah, she's just... But she's more stretchy than Mr. Fantastic because she can actually just, like, grow to, like, 100 feet tall also.
And, like, shapeshift and stuff and everything.
Stretchy.
Their powers are really interesting in the comics, and I think it was a really good way to just have a legacy hero that's different from just... So it's not just a replication of what the first hero was.
Yeah.
So she's like Miss Marvel coming after Captain Marvel, but her powers are completely different, so it makes her unique. Which I think is really neat, but it seems like they're just going with the whole light projection thing that's like... It's just a little bit of a riff of Captain Marvel's powers.
Well, I would say Green Lantern. It reminds me of Green Lantern.
Well, Green Lantern, but, you know, if you go for the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I will say, not her, like, Captain Marvel cosplay costume, but, like, her final Ms. Marvel costume. Mwah! Chef's kiss.
That is true.
It's pretty nice.
And they chose a great actress for the role.
They did.
Yeah. Is it me or is this
Marvel?
She's one of us.
This is just in the face, dude. The face just reminds me of Haley Steinfeld for some reason.
I don't see it.
I don't either.
I will say, okay, Marvel's pretty good at, like, handling, like, a teen rom-com, because, like, I think they did pretty good with the Spider-Man trilogy. All the hate we gave the, like, Homecoming and Far From Home, whatever, it was very good at being, like, a cutesy high school film. So if they're going to try that again, cool.
This felt so Netflixy. Yeah.
It did feel pretty Netflixy. It's like
the trailer. I think the trailer was just edited poorly, and maybe the actual show is going to be different. Hopefully.
I hope The Weeknd shows up.
The Weeknd shows up to play concert for their homecoming dance.
No, Starboy. He's got a Marvel comic named Starboy, where he's a guy named Starboy.
The Weeknd does?
Yes. He published it when he first released the song.
What? Blinding Lights?
Maybe I'm a Starboy.
Oh, Starboy.
Starboy, yeah.
Yes, he published Marvel.
Interesting.
All right, we got so much stuff.
So this is a possibility, guys.
What are your thoughts on that, Harrison?
2 weeks.
What are my thoughts on the trailer?
No, The Weeknd Starboy.
That's interesting because it's kind of like what they do, a Dazzler. That reminds me of Dazzler. From the X-Men, how like it's like a pop star. Is he a pop star hero, or is he just has like no connection to being a pop star?
I think it's. I'm not sure. It just sounds like The Weeknd just made a self-insert character.
Cast The Weeknd as
T'Challa. Yeah, The Weeknd presents Starboy. Volume 1, issue 1.
But he's just a pop star the whole time.
He's just a pop star, but he's The Weeknd, but he's Black Panther.
Oh my god, I forgot this is a thing till now. Okay. Are y'all ready for this?
Yeah, we're ready.
The
Nerd Hockey! Oh.
Kenobi trailer.
Oh, Kenobi, we're doing it.
Yes.
If the whole time you're talking about this, Will, do you just want me to go, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, ha
ha. Duel of Fates perfected that entire trailer.
No, because I'm pretty sure Battle of the Heroes played over more of it.
Did it?
Yeah, because it was like, bum, 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 bum. Anyway, John Williams is a legend. That's all we'll say.
And he's coming back to do the main theme for Kenobi.
Ah, it's going to be so good.
I thought the main theme isn't just going to be Duel of Fates.
No, he's doing a completely new song for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, cool.
For the whole show, Asher, every single minute, it's just, ha, ha,
ha, ha. The one little, like, nuanced thing that I noticed that I loved is you can see him starting to really age.
Yeah.
10 years after Avengers Sith. To by the time we get to see Luke at that age, it'll make sense.
You could totally, like, I could totally see Ewan McGregor, like, aging into what's-his-name.
Yeah.
I forget his name, too.
Yeah.
If we looked at deepfake technology at the very last episode to bring back, I don't know, what's-his-name, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the original trilogy.
Like,
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Geller said he'd be okay if, like, the final scene of the show is, like, he hears Luke getting bashed in the head by a sand person, and he just, like, comes up, and it just comes full circle.
Yeah,
like it
it's called a limited series. They're calling it a limited series, so there's definitely not another season coming out of it.
No, yeah. Literally, the other thing announced, they go, season 2 is a high possibility.
What
the heck does limited series mean?
It's limited to 2 seasons.
I'd be okay. I'd be okay if the final like moment was like a live action version of the twin sons moment from Rebels, where he just kills Maul.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
Ooh.
Yeah, actually, that's the other news. Darth Maul was opted out of the show for Darth Vader.
And I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with that too.
Though we're getting Megamind painted white. It seems more because we got a lot of the Inquisitors.
Yeah.
Let's not forget our boy Han as the fifth brother.
Han from the Fast and Furious movies is playing the fifth brother. That's very cool.
Awesome. See, my question is, if the Inquisitors are, like, after Obi-Wan Kenobi, right?
Yeah, they're Jedi Hunters.
But if that's the thing, if they, like, discover him, then how is he just gonna, like, stay on Tatooine? Like, how does he stay on Tatooine up until he's, like, an old dude? If they know he's there, and Darth Vader knows he's there.
He doesn't,
like, travels around just to go back and throw him off.
In the show, no.
Didn't you see moments, like, he was on, like, a Coruscant-esque planet? It wasn't Coruscant. It's a new planet, but, like, he's on a different planet from most of the show. Like, I bet only the first episode takes place on Tatooine. Inquisitors show up, and then he's like, oh, shoot, I gotta get out of here.
And then he's able to go back after this show, probably.
But I agree with you, Geller, because, like, I agree with you, Asher. Like, I bet wouldn't the Inquisitors that discovered him, wouldn't they go back to Vader and be like, yo, Obi-Wan's on Tatooine?
And then...
Yeah, like...
That's what all great meaning. The scene where Justin looking at young Luke.
Yeah.
Someone made a meme and goes, dang, bro. Disney's de-aging technologies.
They just de-aged Mark Hamill to be a 10-year-old child.
And they just talk.
He takes off that little mask with his, like, pod racing thing, and it's just, like, deep-faked Mark Hamill. They, like, forgot to brush out the beard fully.
I just want there to be a moment in the show where, like, the Grand Inquisitor, like, goes up to Vader and be like, Vader, I discovered where your son is, okay? Believe it or not, they put him on your home planet. I don't know why we never looked there.
Oh, no, get this. It goes even deeper than that. They put your son with your uncle?
No, because it's Luke's uncle. With your
mom's It'd be his husband. Brother-in-law.
Mom's husband's
brother. Stepbrother. It's a stepbrother.
I don't know why we never chose to look at the other living family, but that's great.
Yeah, but he's actually with your only living family on your home planet. Literally right next to your mother's grave.
I know you don't like going there because there's a lot of sand.
Is the grave right next to the house?
Probably. I don't know.
Do you think he ever just... He just went to go visit it, and they just like, oh yeah, Darth Vader comes by from time to time.
No,
we just kind of let him do
no,
it.
No, I bet he doesn't do that because like he tried to sever all connections.
Yeah. Blue milk and leaves.
Let him do it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, let's talk about the trailers. A lot of cool stuff. It was a lot of Inquisitor. We saw a new, not technically a new Inquisitor because she is in the expanded universe, but it seems like the third sister will play a pretty big role in the show.
So are we going to talk about the Grand Inquisitor's makeup or has that already been? I mean, we briefly mentioned it.
Makeup's very low budget.
I told you guys in our group chat that we have. I was like, should have just done Jason Isaacs that voiced him in Rebels. I mean, just get what's his name in Harry Potter?
Lucius, just
bring him. Like he totally could do it.
Would it kill some CGI?
Who sells
that
by bringing back Lars Mikkelsen for Admiral Thrawn?
Yeah.
Like, does it have to be a practical effect? Would it just kill them to use CGI every once in a while?
Well, it's not even. You could do it practically. It's just like they just managed to mess it up practically.
It stunts sometimes too, is what I'm saying.
My problem isn't even like the shape of his head or anything. My problem is just the lack of lines on his face, man. It's so smooth. It's so buttery smooth over there.
Yellow eyes, like it just looks like he has random human eyes.
He's so smooth.
Like, I don't know. He looks like he's on a proactive commercial. Like, dude.
This man be using Dove lotion.
He just looks like an egg.
Yeah.
And
he does. Like an egg turned upside down.
Either way, I'm still excited for the show.
Oh, yeah, we're also excited. I can't believe we finally get to see spinny, twirly lightsabers in live action. I'm very
Hopefully they fly on them like a helicopter.
I want them to fly on them like a helicopter. Just so the general public can see that.
Vader's Obi-Wan. So often. I've been looking forward to it so much.
I was going to say, we didn't get to see Vader in the trailer at all, but they did release a promotional image of him in his castle, or that could be the Grand Inquisitor's castle, or just the Inquisitor's castle, I don't know.
Either way, I'm hyped.
I am very hyped because
how many castings are there in Star Wars?
There's a lot. We saw the Inquisitor's castle in Jedi Fallen Order. That's where the last mission was.
Vader was.
Oh, I thought that was Vader's castle.
No, that wasn't
Vader.
No,
Vader just showed up.
Oh wait, no. Vader's castle's on Mustafar. What am I saying?
This one was like underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Subnautica castle.
Yeah.
We got a little bit more news to get through, so I'm not trying to rush, but
keep going.
I want to get to our main topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
For Disney, they gave us first look at Tom Hanks as Geppetto and Pinocchio in Pinocchio, as well as our first look at Jude Law as Captain Hook and Peter Pan.
Have you seen all those memes about Pinocchio where it's like, Father, I want to get.
Yes.
I want to be on my own.
Father, I want to be on my own. Whatever, it's cool. I mean, Jude Law as Captain Hook sounds a good idea to me.
I wanted Russell Brand.
I don't know who that is, but I'll trust your casting.
Oh. Well, I know what Tom Hanks is Geppetto either. I wanted Gary Oldman.
All right, but Tom Hanks looks just like Geppetto from the cartoon.
So does Gary Oldman.
I'm sorry, dude. It just does not. I think Tom Hanks is the better choice here.
No. Tom Hanks likes children a little too much.
I love watching that Elvis trailer over and over again for that little goofy accent Tom Hanks does.
Yes.
The what?
The Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
The little goofy accent. I don't know.
Alright, so Netflix's One Piece added a slew of actors and actresses for characters. Naturally for characters. They added Morgan Davies as Kobe, Ella as Sorlys, Paulino as Alvidia, McKinley Belcher as Arlong, Jeff Ward as Buggy, Vincent Reagan as Garp, and Aiden Scott as Helmeppo. This is why I don't watch One Piece. What are these names?
Anime boys. Let's have anime Asher shed some light on this.
Yes, Asher.
I tried making a dent in One Piece, but it's such a long series, bro. I made it through season one.
All I know is when I lived with the guys, they were watching an episode where they fought a midget clown, and I clocked out right there.
Okay, wait, I've seen that episode, and yeah, that sums it up pretty well. It's a midget clown, but he's only a midget because his head got cut off, and so his body regrew. And so, yeah, it's a weird show.
That Zorro guy's
cool. I guess he could separate his head willingly and move his body around telekinetically. And then his body got separated from his head, and so he just, like, for some reason grew a smaller body. I don't really understand how it worked like that.
This is why anime kids get bullied.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but...
That sounds like that one thing that happened to your pee-pee, Asher.
What?
What?
On to the next topic, whatever the...
Florence Pugh and Austin Butler are in talks to play Princess Arulan Corrin and Fade Rautha in Dune Part 2.
That's
cool. A God of War live-action series in development.
Live-action what?
God of War.
Oh, nice. Who's going to play Kratos?
They don't know yet.
Danny DeVito?
No, they just announced.
Boy.
You know how much I'd love to see him as Danny DeVito? He just walks out with a sword. He's like, I'm the trash man.
Geller, it is not a sword. It is the Blades of Chaos.
No, this is the Blades. Yeah, that's what I meant. Oh.
Don't worry, guys. I got more uplifting Florence Pugh news.
Oh, they're casting Florence Pugh as God of War? Kratos? I mean, I guess.
No, she's going to be in the highly anticipated Puss in Boots sequel. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Guys,
Ice
Age turned 20 years old yesterday. Let's just...
And the fact people making content for it. Like, it's still not like a dead series or anything. Like, there's still stuff
coming. Yeah, this year.
Speaking of
highly... This year, Disney Plus released Ice Age, The Adventures of Buck Wild.
Speaking of highly anticipated things, can we talk about that Lord of the Rings trailer?
No, because it's nothing but political diverse garbage that makes J.R.R. Tolkien roll in his grave.
I was going to say it doesn't feel like Lord of the Rings at all, but yeah.
I need to watch the trailer. I haven't seen it yet.
I was like, is this a...
Not to be racist, but...
Oh, God, Will. You never start off a sentence with not to be racist, but...
But Asian people?
Fine. Not to be racist and sexist.
Oh, my God, no.
Much better. I got to say, Twitter's going to love this one. I'm glad they haven't discovered our podcast yet.
Why is there a black dwarf queen?
A what?
Black dwarf queen. Literally, their whole culture is that men are superior.
I didn't even see that in the trailer, but
I did.
If it makes you feel any better, Lord of the Rings is for nerds, so.
I don't know much about Lord of the Rings.
I'm in Shadow of War right now.
Okay, but Shadow of Mordor is a dope game.
And that's where I learned that there are black people in Lord of the Rings. I was unaware.
Oh yeah, they do exist.
They do. Black people do exist.
Yo, but Asher, let's talk about Elden Ring.
Elden Ring. Dude, I haven't played it yet. I'm too broke for that.
Broke to play Elden Ring. Okay, alright.
Xbox sucks so much it won't connect to our own internet.
Yeah, exactly. We have much larger problems over here, bro.
I'm sorry.
I worry about Elden Ring when I move out. I don't even know. Right.
On the upside, the Guardians of the Galaxy game hit Game Pass, so that's going to be downloaded in the next 2 weeks here.
I can play it for free. That's exciting.
Can I play anybody else other than Star-Lord?
No, just Star-Lord. He's the only member of the team.
That's the only reason I did it for Game Pass instead of buying it. Because I can't play as Rocket.
I want to play as Drax. I would have gotten it if I could. Drax or Gamora.
Okay, so, for video game dudes. Gotham Knights comes out October 25th, 2022.
What's coming out then?
Gotham Knights.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
CW has their show Gotham Knights, but there's also the video game Gotham Knights.
Yeah, but that has, like, none of the actual Bat family members that I care about.
We should start a gaming channel, make a four-player playthrough of that game the first video.
We should have drunk MK Knights.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to make you guys want to quit that game.
And then, this one is actually kind of cool. They're releasing a thing called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection, which features all their arcade video games, NES video games, SNES video games, and Game Boy video games, and Genesis, all in one package.
Is it Seth Rogen making a turtle show?
Animated. He's making a movie.
It's a movie, and it looks really bad.
It does?
Yeah. It's an anime.
Oh, hold them.
After The Boys and Invincible, I had faith, and then this happened, and now I'm like, no.
Bro, what if he made it hard R?
I wouldn't mind it. It'd be something new for the turtles.
Did I send you guys?
The turtles just look bad.
Is this the art?
Did I send you guys that Lego Forest Fire video where Michelangelo's smoking a joint?
Is it this?
Yeah.
Well, why does Donnie always have to have those stupid glasses on? And why does he always...
I don't get it either.
Donnie's my favorite turtle. Back off.
Bro, he's my second favorite. I love him too, but like, why do they always have to make him
look... We're not dissing Donnie. We're dissing Donnie's design.
Yeah, they always gotta make him look goofy, like he can never just look cool.
He's the nerd, and you have to show that.
Why do I always give Raphael the half cowl anymore?
Big glasses. Raphael's supposed to be super skinny.
What?
I mean, that's why we're the drag every time.
A cool Donnie for once.
I want Donnie to say the F word.
What was that?
I said I wanted to say the F word.
I want Donnie to be like the Punisher. I want him to be brutally gore.
Like all the other turtles are PG, but Donnie just kills people and says the F word.
Not even Raph is killing anybody, and Donnie just
with his little stick.
Donnie impales five of the purple dragon clan with a staff.
He just shoves his bow staff up someone's butt and it just comes out his mouth.
No, he just graphically just murders every single person.
Kevin Eastman one.
Yeah.
Everything he says is just F this, F that.
But then it just cuts back to the other turtles and they're squeaky clean PG.
They're not even using their weapons, they're just like dancing around.
They're not even acknowledging what Donnie's doing.
The same one thing I would give the 2012 Ninja Turtles theory. is because they fought robots, they were allowed to impale people and slice their heads and arms off.
It's almost like that was on purpose.
I just said that's the one thing I'll give them. Like,
I was gonna say back in the 90s when they released those the original Teenage Ninja Turtle movies, it was like after the first one, they just didn't have their weapons anymore.
They would literally, you know, they'd pose with the weapons and put them back in their pockets and then do the rest of the fighting like that.
They were afraid that kids were going to hit each other in the face with nunchucks.
I got a fun fact for you.
Just Raph and Leo Horn.
There's something in the way.
Mikey and Dottie.
Oh my goodness.
We're ready to start Batman.
Good. Sorry, you were just a little choppy there.
Thank you.
I don't know, you're still beautiful. I was just pointing out something. Yes, let's talk about the Batman. I want to point out something. Geller, our lovely host Geller, is completely fine with spoilers, but he has not seen the film.
But I've heard stuff I need to hear to put in, like, something of an input.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, this movie's terrible, or oh, this movie's great, because I haven't seen it, you know, so.
Did you watch The Boys Diabolical?
Yes, we did.
Yes, you're at least here for that.
Yeah.
The only four notes that show, or maybe four or five. No, it is four. Yeah, it's four notes right there, right? Only music in the score. This movie gets like praised for its musical score. But it's just four notes, man.
Do you know how much it hurts me when Michael Giacchino was my guy?
He's such a good composer. I will say, don't diss that track, because I have now defined my whole personality based off of Bruce Wayne.
I am now Bruce Wayne.
I now wear eyeliner and I wear my hair like this.
Every time you get intense, you have to take a crap.
All the time.
Yeah.
I'm just like Spider-Man and Batman. I'm like Spider-Man because I don't have any money, and I'm like Batman because I don't have any powers.
All right, so I'll get out of the way the things I did enjoy.
Are we just going straight spoilers, Will?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Spoiler warning. If you haven't seen the movie, go away.
Don't care about him.
Will's about to take a big dump. Okay, go.
All right, so I'll go for the things I did like first.
Oh, okay.
The visuals were absolutely stunning.
Oh, yeah. Perfect cinematography.
I love that it shows what living in Gotham truly felt like, down to the mimicking of Times Square lighting up the city in Midtown Gotham, but also the city's underbelly and crime area. I like that the bat signal was more than just a call for help from Batman, but an actual warning to the people committing crimes, to the point they were scared that Batman was lurking in every shadow that was near them, without him even being there. So they ran and hit. I thought that was genius filmmaking and a genius understanding of the character. I liked how Batman fought, and I liked his interaction with the police, where they kept questioning whether he should even be involved in the investigation, and it evolved over time throughout the movie. They were like, screw it, I give up. I liked the race against time with Alfred to learn there was no time to race against. That everything that happened with Alfred with the bomb already happened an hour prior. I thought that was beautiful filmmaking. And although I didn't feel like her story was developed as well as it could have been, I did really enjoy Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman, and Penguin was my favorite character.
I think those are all valid points.
That's all I liked about the movie.
No, that's pretty good stuff. I mean, you know, it's a 3-hour movie, so there's a lot to talk about, but I'd love to hear your dislikes, because I've heard a lot of them, but.
Well, let's go over everybody's likes first.
Okay.
Likes, do.
All right, do Asher, is there any likes you want to throw in?
Not sure. I mean, I really did like the cinematography of the movie and stuff. I actually kind of liked how this one, I liked that it was like, there was actual development for Batman in this movie. Like, he had a character arc. He learned that just, you know, going on a vengeance mission wasn't the way to go. And that Batman needed to be, like, he really needed to bring compassion to his role as Batman. Like, the fact that you can't just beat Gotham into being good. you have to show, you have to kind of pave a way, you know, carve a path for it. That was a really neat lesson that this movie had.
That it's more than just vengeance. That was his name. That's what they called him. It embodied who he was.
Yeah. And I also liked how the final act bad guy, quote unquote, wasn't actually Riddler. It was sort of Riddler's message and his following. And he had to snuff that out. I thought that was very creative because that really does sort of break the formula that we're all used to when it comes to the final act fight. Because you're just so used to like, oh, they have to fight the bad guy at the end of the movie, which is, you know, cough, cough, Marvel cough. But
Marvel
I really liked that. I thought they did that very well. I actually did like this this version of Bruce Wayne. I know, which Will does not agree with.
I just didn't even know you liked it.
I thought it was very interesting. I mean, they could have hinted to what's to come on how he has to learn to accept the Playboy persona. But I kind of like how this is a Bruce Wayne that's so focused on being Batman that he literally does not care about trying to be that Bruce Wayne symbol. Like, you know, trying to put that personality out there.
Yeah.
And it's like he's just sort of a recluse and everything. I liked that as well. But I hope that in the future movies he does learn to bring Bruce Wayne back into the light.
What about you, Harrison?
I was going to say, all the things that you guys have said, I totally agree with. The one thing that you guys didn't touch on that I think is a big thing that I enjoyed, and I know Will definitely doesn't like this, and maybe Asher doesn't like it. This might be my definitive Riddler now.
Riddler, I like this Riddler. I like this Riddler better than most iterations of Riddler. Yeah.
I've always said, and this isn't like an original opinion, I've heard people online talk about it, but like my ideal Riddler is Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Obviously like a more intelligent Jigsaw and like give you like riddles to get out of, but I'm like literally just make a guy who's just like a more or less a serial killer that puts you in death traps and you have to solve riddles to get out of it. I'm like that should be Riddler. And that's
I think this Riddler definitely made him scarier than other iterations do.
My question is, isn't that what the Arkham Riddler is? When you do his missions, not his trophies, but his missions. There's a whole mission where you have to hit the right button with your batarang, or this guy drops into a pit of electricity.
Yeah, I agree with you, Will. I think that's really cool. I do like the Arkham Riddler quite a bit. I love the Batman the Animated Series Riddler quite a bit for different reasons, because he's like cold and calculated. Like that.
You're a really nice guy in real life.
He's a really nice guy in real life. He talked to us a lot. Anyway, I don't know about his costume very well. I mean, it's very realistic, like what a serial killer would look like. Of course, they based it on a serial killer. But I don't know, like part of me, like no spandex and like big gold cane maybe, but I don't know. I hope he does get like a, like I kind of want to see his face in the future. Does that make sense?
As far as his costume goes, the part that didn't make sense to me, and we can't really see it well, but Paul Dano admitted to it. He wears cling wrap around his face first, then puts on the army mask.
Yeah.
I feel like that's way too much.
I don't know.
To have for whatever reason.
Yeah, he claimed he did it because he's like a serial killer would do that, so like no DNA evidence would be left behind, whatever. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Even on the mask, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like he didn't want like his hair follow. He would be like, if you do that, then your hair follicles wouldn't come off.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense. And I will go into the little bit, and like I have to stress this enough. It's a 3-hour movie, and you do not get too much of the Riddler. You don't get like not enough, but you just don't get like a ton.
I'd agree.
Like you literally more or less only have like one like full scene of him unmasked, I would say.
Diner to the jail cell.
Yeah, like we'll talk about the other scene that you see him at the end with dear God. We'll talk about that later. That is something I really but like I like, you know, Paul Dano's an amazing actor, so I never doubted that he would play him very well, but I
was excited when he was first cast.
Yeah, I do like what he's doing. I kind of wish that it would show how intelligent he was a bit more, because like the Riddler's super intelligent and I wanted to see that a bit more, so that's my only complaint with that part.
Yeah,
see, I think my biggest complaint with the Riddler outside of his costume is I felt like they treated him like he was on the autism spectrum.
I agree.
Where in truth, his issue is he has this severe obsessive compulsive disorder, but an even more severe superiority complex. So to be hide behind such a big mask and to hide his face and his identity as much as he did didn't work for me personally. Because even when he wears kind of the purple domino mask, you can still mostly make out that he's Edward Nygma. And that's why I prefer the Arkham one more too, because it's just purple glasses. He wants people to know, I am better than you. Watch me be better than you.
Yeah.
And that's what I like in my Riddler. This one felt like he was too insecure, where even though the Riddler has his insecurities, it felt like these were brought to the surface more than they should have been.
I like that he literally thought like Batman was his friend.
That was kind of goofy.
He expected him to be like go along with his plan, but then when Batman was like, nah, you failed, you're stupid, you're dumb, he started like tweaking. I do like what Asher said that like they had to fight like his online followers, because that's like pretty applicable to like today. Like that's what like a terrorist would, or like some crazy dude would do, is have like a crazy dark web following. So that's cool.
Yeah, basically it was Batman fighting a bunch of Redditors, so
the real
villain of this movie was Riddler's Reddit karma.
I keep seeing people like, because like, you know, they go out of their way to say, man, this guy has 500 followers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not too many. But
pretty serious.
No, I genuinely did, though, in the theater, leaned over to my dad when they had, when they were going to the funeral for the first guy that killed the mayor.
Yeah.
And they had the people that were chanting for Riddler. I looked at my dad and I go, that's actually pretty much what society is today. Like, that's into, when you look at some of the things we've been through these past years, you have one side and you have the other. And each side is harshly devoted to their side.
Agreed.
And they're all crazy.
Yes.
I dislike, kind of, it's whatever. I'm indifferent about the fact that the Batmobile is literally just a muscle car. It's whatever.
I hate it.
Yeah. What other stuff did you like, Harry? You've kind of just gone on the Riddler so far.
I'm sorry, what was that, Ash?
I was saying, like, what other stuff did you like?
Yeah.
Because right now we're going to talk about the Riddler.
Because I was talking about muscle car, whatever, but, like, that chase itself against Penguin, maybe one of the best Batmobile chases.
Okay, I've got to make that in my notes. I loved the chase. I liked that when he walked up to Penguin, that it felt like a Western, like a Clint Eastwood Western, where it almost felt like you could hear the spurs on his boots from the metal clinking.
Yeah.
From his suit. And then I liked that when he first met Selina in her apartment, it almost felt like a conversation you would find in a noir film.
Yeah.
This one really leaned into its noir inspirations very well.
I think all the police investigation stuff, I think, like, they could have done more with, like, him solving riddles, blah, blah, but I really did like seeing a detective Batman. That is something I didn't know I needed that much, but I'm like, it sucks that, like, this is the first time we're seeing that.
Can I counterpoint that?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, that you did. Yeah, but keep going. Yeah, say it.
Batman wasn't the detective. Alfred was. Alfred was the one solving the riddles for him.
But, like, Batman was...
Batman brought it to Gordon.
But, like, Batman was solving those riddles, like, on the fly when District Attorney Gill had the bomb around his neck. Like, I know you said he didn't, but, like, every single riddle, Batman answered it, like, right away.
Yeah, but that was three. I'm talking the big ones.
When it came to the decoding and stuff, I think he did have...
That was Alfred doing it.
It was a good job showing their partnership together, but I feel like it didn't feel like it was stuff that Bruce Wayne couldn't do on his own. It just kind of felt like Alfred was sort of helping him out while he was focusing on the crime-fighting aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that, I don't know if this is good or bad, but there are two separate times where Batman, like, fails. Like, he fails as in, like, the, or it's like, what, like, El Rata, El Lat, or whatever, he... He thought it was someone else when it talked about a winged bat, right? Or a winged bird.
Yeah, that was the one riddle that was like, that went on for way too long where he didn't understand what it meant.
My big joke is that Burt Ward's Robin could have solved that one faster than him.
Yeah, Jeepers, Batman, no. But that's the first time he failed. So, I mean, good or bad if you like...
Holy serial killings, Batman. How are we going to solve this one?
If you... Jeepers, Batman, this man's head was bashed in with the queen. If you like that, like, your hero is not perfect and that he can mess up, then that's a good thing. If you want Batman to be this perfect detective, it's a bad thing. The second one he failed was when he missed to, like, see the clue of, like, that, like, Riddler had the bombs around or whatever, and he was like, because he was too distracted on the fact where Batman left the crime scene because he was like freaked out because he thought Riddler found out who he was, so he didn't like pay attention to the fact of that there was like a map under the thing and the bomb, so he could have stopped the bombs from going up. Which also I want to point out just felt really rushed that all of a sudden like Riddler had this plan to flood Gotham. That just felt I know it's from the comics, blah blah blah. It just felt really rushed.
It did come out of nowhere in the script though. I will say that I see what you're saying there.
You forgot about the other time he failed.
When?
Getting absolutely clotheslined by that bridge.
Oh yeah. Oh gosh, his flying suit.
That. Just because that's a visual costume thing, I can chime in at this part. That thing is gross. Why did they not just give him his cape? No, you know that white suit thing?
He is 2 years in. That was established. So why didn't he have at least the basic classic gadgets? His batarangs, not the stupid Swiss knife on his chest shaped like a bat, but his actual batarangs, his actual light cape, and his smoke pellets. That's all I wanted required.
I agreed with you when we first talked about this, but the more I think about it, I do kind of like the idea that it takes a while for him to get into that, like, the Batman that we know and love today. Like, it wouldn't just be a single year's time where he has all this stuff figured out, you know?
In the book Batman Year One, he has all those gadgets.
Well, yeah, but this is inspired by Batman Year One. It's not a direct, just like, shot for shot, panel for panel comic of year one.
Which, you know, I don't want. You know what I think about accuracy, that's not what I mean.
Like, I kind of like how this is a different interpretation where it's a Batman that's still figuring it out.
I was going to say, I agree with what you're saying. It's like, his flight suit failed, so I'm sure, you know, that was like a realization moment for him. He's like, oh, shoot, I need to fix that. Maybe he'll make a gliding cape.
Well, you said he's in year two, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know.
I'm just saying
I like him finding out these things. Like, there was a scene in the final battle where he shot or he put a bomb on, like, a smoke thing to explode. So maybe, like Asher said, maybe he's like, oh, shoot, I need to add smoke pellets to my arsenal. Or, you know, he keeps using the Swiss Army battering thing to cut things. Maybe he'll be like, oh, let me make a batarang to throw. Or, you know, I kind of like that. Like, these are, like, the moments we see where he's like,
yeah, like, maybe he looks at it and he's like, maybe I should make a bunch of these and, like, throw it.
Yeah. That's my one thing. And, like, Batman Begins, he was just, like, he went from not doing anything Batman-related to full-fledged Batman, all the gadgets right away.
With the assistance of Winston Shaw and the R&D department.
Yeah.
But he was a weapons manufacturer as well.
Was he?
That was part of them.
Yeah. Okay.
When I rewatched it, they partly did weapons manufacturing for the army.
Yeah. But that was my thing. Is like I like this interpretation where it's like a gradual transformation into the classic Batman that we know. And who knows? Maybe part of this gradual transformation, we'll get the gray and black bat suit instead of an all black one.
Tired of all black.
I will say John Turturro, he's great. Carmine Falcone, I liked him. I thought he was good.
I thought that was.
I don't think he was intimidating. I thought he checked off every mob boss like box, but he never came off as intimidating.
No, I felt he was intimidating.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about him just felt kind of like anyone could go down.
He was like subtle intimidating. He wasn't like in your face about it.
Maybe I'm just too used to Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin and expecting something like that.
Yeah, probably.
Like in the comics, Carmine Falcone's supposed to be like this wall of a man.
Yeah.
This one just looked like your fun uncle at the cookout.
There's the uncle.
I
will say, when he's not getting peed on by an Autobot, Will, I will say that the last thing I want to say, and this kind of encompasses what you guys were talking about Gotham, I love this went out of its way to show you that, like, Batman is fighting a losing battle with the city.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Agents.
And he knows it.
Yeah, like he's like, maybe this isn't working or like whatever. So I like that, you know, like he has like the Gotham Project, like his journal, he journals every night. I like that. I like that he has the contact lenses where like stuff happens so much he needs to like recollect because like he can't keep up with everything that happens, so he can like review everything.
Yeah. Oh, I really hope that in future stuff with the contact lenses, they make it like white. Like they make it just with like a white screen thing where it's like, you know. Because one, it would lead into the whole, like, the myth that Batman is, like, he's inhuman or whatever. And also, I would just love to see, in like, a live-action Batman with the white eyes.
But like do it for like his Detective Vision too.
Detective Vision is like all the time. Kind of like that one Nightwing show on YouTube thing, the Nightwing YouTube series that we watch. Because if they're gonna have him have these contact lenses that are like digital and like do stuff, you might as well just make him white, you know.
So the other issues that I did have though was Catwoman and Batman's romance was weird and awkward and rushed.
Yeah.
Agreed. When they kissed, I was
that confused. Movie to end with a heart closing frame.
When they were riding on their motorcycles together side by side.
But when they stopped at that course and they're ready to turn one way or another, I leaned over to my dad and I go, "It's been a long day."
Yeah.
Without you, my friend.
She kissed him in like their third scene together. It was so confusing.
Yeah. It was very I feel
chemistry
like
just wasn't there.
They could have like, I don't know, set hints for future installments to go on a romance with that. They did not need a kiss scene right there.
Yeah.
Also, all the cops sounded like prepubescent children who couldn't hit puberty and lost their voice.
Yeah, the cops did not. That is a fair.
Hey, Batman! Yeah, that's what they sound like.
And Jim Gordon, for me, I struggled seeing him as a character in general. He felt character and lifeless. Nothing more than vouching for Batman and just being Batman's echo chamber. That's all I got out of this character.
I saw a review where some guy was like, "I can sum up Jim Gordon for you. Jeez, man. Heck, man. Gosh, man."
That's all it was. It wasn't Gordon.
Yeah, that was, I definitely get that a lot. I saw a review that was saying, like, this is, like, this guy was trying to say that this version of Gordon is his definitive Gordon
from here on out. You don't just respect Gary Oldman like that.
And it's like, you're right, it was an echo chamber. Gordon didn't do anything except follow Batman around and help
him.
He was Burt Ward's Robin in this movie. Like,
no, he was the freaking Adam West Gordon. Well, good golly, Batman, what should we do?
Yeah.
No, that was a pretty fun moment.
I don't think Jordan was on to something now, do you, Batman?
What?
I don't want to say a fun moment, but I thought that was like a funny moment when they were doing the detective stuff at the beginning in the car and he was like, thumb drive.
Oh my god, the thumb drive killed me. He's like, I hate this man.
It was just the guy's thumb was attached to the thumb drive.
That was good.
It's funny. I thought that was a good part.
I also loved a Penguin just absolutely roasting Batman and Gordon with the whole rat with wings brittle.
Yeah.
In the El Dorado or whatever the Spanish term. Yeah. Like, are you guys stupid?
Yeah.
That part at the beginning where we first met Penguin, I thought Colin Farrell did a really good job, you know, where it was like, what's he doing with the mayor? That's the mayor? Holy crap. No, shoot. That is the mayor. Just slams him against the glass. I thought Colin Farrell did a good job with that line.
He was perfect. Like, I don't really care much for these spin-off idea shows for this movie, but I will be watching The Penguin.
Yeah. Okay,
quick question. Do you guys think Gotham will still be flooded?
In the Penguin series?
In the Penguin series and in the sequel.
Not sure. I mean, I feel like...
Maybe it breaks it up into more districts and islands. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe. It could be something that they solve in the Penguin series, and then so
when
we
skip.
Come into the second movie, it's all figured out.
So do you want there to be like a couple year time jump for the next Batman? Like maybe it's year 4 or 5?
6 months to a year, maybe.
Six months to a year would be a good time jump. What was that, Harry?
I was going to say Robert Pattinson keeps talking about wanting a 13-year-old Robin in the sequel.
Good.
That'd be cool.
Dark Victory?
That's it's the sequel to Long Halloween where he finds Robin. I have it.
So, I'm gonna read that.
Asher mentioned this in the theater as a little detail that we both love. The twins, each time you saw them, they were a little bit more beat up each time.
Yeah, they had like more black eyes or like bandages on their faces and bruises.
Not only did I like that, but I liked how he went into the Iceberg Lounge 3 different ways.
I know.
He went into the first time as Batman. And they were like, he was like, you know who I am. They're like, yeah, man. And like basically closed the door, like, don't come in. And so he had to beat his way in. Then he tried as Bruce Wayne and they're like, oh, geez, Bruce Wayne, come on in. And then and then he just said, screw it. And just like snuck past him the third time.
Also, the fact they had the Iceberg Lounge, like, bravo.
Yeah,
yeah, very. This is more like less Iceberg Lounge and more Iceberg Club, but you know.
You know, lots of.
Well, yeah, but it was more like an EDM club, not a gentleman's club.
I'm sure since the Penguin gets to like fully take it over now, I bet it will be more like comic booky Iceberg Lounge, hopefully.
Probably. Who knows?
Do you want to hear something super stupid? Colin Farrell had to fight the MPAA rating system to get Penguin a cigar, and they still would not let him.
No, I heard that. It wasn't the rating system for the cigar. It was the fact that every time they, with the way they did the lenses, every time they had a cigar in Penguin's mouth, it looked like a sausage. So they didn't. They decided to not do it.
I mean, the movie is very dark, quite literally, if that's what you mean.
In the last 5 years.
What was that, Harry?
I was gonna say. I mean, if you mean like the movie was very quite dark, like literally, like 90% of the movie was at nighttime. So I mean, yeah.
Well, it was like the specific lens they use. It just like. It makes everything look a little different. Some stuff is more shiny or blurry and everything.
I did not notice that, like, we didn't get a smoking penguin. We didn't even get him, like, holding an umbrella.
Oh, yeah, there wasn't an umbrella. Maybe we'll get that in the later
stuff. Was the lack of a monocle.
Yeah, the monocle.
I mean...
That's pretty iconic to his character.
Danny DeVito. I will say no one's talking about it, but I kind of feel like they did it on purpose. You know how they kind of had a penguin's like ankles like handcuffed, so there was that little part where he was waddling.
No, he did the waddle.
Yeah, I was like, did they do that on purpose so Penguin could have a waddle?
Oh, for sure. Dad pointed it out to me once we were watching.
Yeah.
But no, I was reading. Apparently, in the last 5 years, though, the MPAA rating system has been trying to cut smoking out of films.
Huh.
So he had to fight for the cigar, and he lost.
I wonder
they're okay
why
with all these other gross things and sexual things and drugs and all that. But for some reason, smoking draws the line.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty wacky.
I bet he'll have it in his HBO show since that will be rated R.
I hope. Alrighty, so is there anything else you guys want to add to this movie?
I know, Geller hasn't seen it. I'll get him to see it at some point. I will say we can touch on the fact that it's probably your biggest issue in the movie. Will, Asher touched on it a little bit, and it's like the general public's biggest issue with the film, besides it being 3 hours, is that there's no difference between when he takes off the cowl and when he's Bruce Wayne. That was your issue, Will, and that's a very understandable issue because it's like the public's issue with it, but I'm on Asher's side where I'm like, I kind of like that, how he's so obsessed with being Batman, like Bruce Wayne's an afterthought to him. So yes, but yeah, I mean, he's very emo. Bruce Wayne is very emo. Yeah.
I really hope with the lesson that he learned at the end of this movie, we'll see in like the sequel, you know, him starting to take the Bruce Wayne persona a little more seriously.
Yeah. Cause there's no way the general public's not like, yo, you're definitely Batman. You're acting sus.
Yeah. We might vote you out for being the imposter.
The other thing that I forgot to say is, I could not get behind Andy Serkis as Alfred. He just did not feel very Alfred to me.
He's the least fatherly Alfred.
Well, Bruce wouldn't let him either.
That's
Bruce
true.
Bruce literally pulled the most 14-year-old emo. I listened to Panic at the Disco and Nirvana. You're not my father.
You're but not my real dad.
This is very, like, Special Forces Alfred.
Yes, yeah. From Earth 1.
Maybe once he shaves and gets the pencil mustache, we'll get more of the classic Alfred.
Well, no, Asher, have you seen Earth 1 Alfred?
No.
Look at Earth 1 Alfred and you'll understand what the design.
I will say I think this is the first Alfred that has, like, a cane, which is interesting.
Which was also Earth 1.
Oh, okay, so then, there you go. Yeah, because they insinuate the fact that Batman got all his training in this universe from Alfred.
Yeah, instead of, like, League of Assassins stuff. I will say this is probably my least favorite Alfred look.
Yeah,
because it's just Andy Serkis.
I think
it's not Alfred. He's not bald. He doesn't have the pencil stash.
Jeremy
Irons just looks like Lucy's Claw.
Jeremy Irons might be my favorite. I think he does really good as Alfred in those
Michael
movies.
Michael Caine's my favorite Alfred.
Okay, I don't know. I think Jeremy Irons. From Batman for Superman. I think he was a good mix of like Michael Caine and Andy Serkis as Alfred.
Yeah. Sean Pertwee's mine.
I'm going to do I want to quick touch on the fact this is a big spoiler, but not really. What's his name? I don't know what his name is. He played Druig in Eternals. Help me out here.
Oh, yeah.
Barry Keoghan's Teenage Girl Joker laugh.
Keoghan, yeah. they have this very ham-forced in scene at the end when the Riddler's in Arkham, and he's, like, all sad, and then he starts crying, and, like, the Joker, like, Barry Keoghan's Joker's like, oh, don't cry, like, and then makes a riddle, and they all laugh together, and you kind of see his Joker a little bit. He has a scarred-up face, but I'm just like, why? Why did we do this?
It definitely, yeah, that I'm was sorry. A I'm poor move. I'm sorry,
I'm one of the few who does not like Barry Keoghan as an actor. The dude's dry as a bone.
I haven't seen enough of his, acting to really judge.
I'll check Dunkirk out again to see.
It's interesting, I mean... Matt Reeves came out and, like, confirmed, he's like, that's my Joker. He's like, I just want to point out, though, he's like, I don't plan on having Joker be the villain in the sequel. He's like, I wanted to show the fact that he's in the universe. He's like, that's all I wanted to do.
Okay.
So, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like how at the end of Batman Begins, Gordon was like, there's a new guy, and, like, here's, like, a Joker card. So I guess it's kind of like that, but, like, I don't know, it just felt way out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It definitely felt too forced.
Speaking of which, before we give our ratings, let us real quick, and Geller can chime in on this too. What do we want to see from the sequel?
Bane.
We'll see Bane.
I don't want a sequel.
He doesn't want a sequel. Matt Reeves talks about Mr. Freeze, and that is Will's first or second favorite Batman villain. What are your thoughts on Mr. Freeze? Okay, would you like to see a Mr. Freeze?
Mr. Freeze could be cool.
It depends how he does it.
Poison
Ivy.
Poison Ivy would be interesting. I'm kind of with Geller where I do want to see Mr. Freeze, but maybe I want to see Bane a bit more because I do want a comic book Bane, and this is a far reach, but they might have hinted towards it because it might have been just adrenaline or it could have been venom he used at the end. I'm just saying it was probably just
glowing green.
It was
glowing green.
It was definitely like a yellowish green liquid, but I'm sure it could have just been adrenaline that he used on himself at the end. But it could have been venom.
In The Dark Knight Rises?
No. You know when Catwoman's getting beat up by the Redditors, Batman injects himself with like a thing to like get the strength enough to like stop him, and then he beats the crap out of that guy like so much.
It was just adrenaline.
Oh, yeah, that was probably just adrenaline.
That's what I'm saying. It was probably just adrenaline, or it could have been venom. That's all I'm saying.
Now, the one thing I will say, again, he did start losing control with his anger.
Yeah, we
all forgot to mention the one thing we all really did like. The narration from Bruce Wayne.
Oh, yeah, that felt straight out of the comic book.
That felt like thought bubbles coming to life.
That's very comic booky.
Sorry, I had to point that out because I forgot we all liked it.
I was going to bring that up. I totally forgot, so thank you for doing that.
It starts with him narrating and it ends with him narrating. I liked that quite a bit.
But ultimately, for me, this movie's story was incoherent. It was not inconsistent. It lacked logic, because I'm sorry, when Gil Coulson's head blew up, there was shrapnel, there was a bunch of stuff, and Batman's opening face area was unseen.
Yeah, there wasn't even there was no ash on his face from the explosion. He was completely fine on his face for some reason.
His suit didn't get, like, blown up at all. He took a lot of bullets, like, more bullets than any Batman has taken. He took a lot of bullets in this movie.
He really focused on the... Yeah, nobody goes for the mouth. I think Batman's superpower is just having an indestructible jaw.
I know it really...
Yeah, that was the one thing that always bothered him.
The fact he was using one of them, like, blade-sharp things
against
his jaw.
What
was that, Geller?
I was saying, like, that's the thing that's always bothered me, like, since I can even remember about Batman's costume and similar costumes like that, is they just have a randomly exposed jaw. Especially with modern iterations, how, like, they'll always have, like, body armor under it or over it, but their jaw is just exposed.
I will say... I know it was like a big like plot moment because like he more or less got defeated. It was only Catwoman that like saved him. But like my man took a double barrel shotgun point blank to the chest.
Yes.
How did he survive that? Exactly?
I do not know. Like it really like it knocked him on his butt. He would have like died if Catwoman didn't come in and stop the guy from taking another shot at him. But like that is that's like the most powerful caliber bullet like right to the chest.
Yeah.
Just
so, like. Yeah, the inconsistencies, the lack of logic, and the overall, in my opinion, mishandling of a lot of the characters, or just underdevelopment, to where I have to give the movie a 6 out of 10.
Okay, 6 out of 10, that's fair for you. Ash?
I'd give it at least like a 7 out of 10, maybe I'd say 7 or 8 is pretty good. Probably seven. More 7, 7.5.
I will say one last complaint I had, and then I'll give my rating. They went full 7, like the movie 7. Big inspiration of the movie, I know. But Batman did not catch the Riddler. No one caught the Riddler. He just surrendered himself. I did like that, because Batman did not stop the bad guy. He just was like, my plan is done. I surrender. So, the villain more or less won. So that's interesting, but I'm just saying, like, Batman didn't feel very like, yeah, he saved the day, because he didn't. Riddler would still be around murdering people if he didn't surrender himself in the diner.
Yeah.
But tell me I'm wrong. This movie was just edgy Adam West.
It was very edgy. Adam West, that's rude. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like it was more edgy Tim Burton.
Tim Burton is edgy. That's an oxymoron.
Yeah, wait, what?
Tim Burton, you mean?
Modern Tim Burton. I will say, what am I saying? I'll just give you my rating. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
I'm going to give it
He might be my definitive Batman now. I know that's maybe controversial, but I think he might be my definitive Batman.
Affleck for life.
Affleck. Hey, Will, did you say Affleck?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I bet you guys like The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's like Anders.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man movie.
And Geller's rating for the movie
Transformers is... Dark of the Moon is the best Transformers.
The Moon is the best Transformers.
It is.
It is.
The plot is
amazing. Because Bumblebee exists.
You're so well written.
Yeah, okay, Bumblebee's the best. Shut up. Okay.
Bumblebee is amazing.
Okay, do we want to quickly touch on The Boys Diabolical?
I thought it was a great anthology series.
I didn't even know it was an anthology series until Geller and I started, so that is a big plus.
Certain episodes were better than others.
I felt it was an every other episode pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. Though that Awkwafina poop episode was interesting.
Yeah, that was something. That was
the cringiest thing I've ever watched. Did you not get there?
I only watched the first episode.
I will say the
Rainy Day Out was basically an ultra-violent Animaniacs Looney Tunes episode that was fun and cute and diabolical.
The first one, yeah.
Because the boy's diabolical. I see what you did there.
Dude, literally the voice actor for Rick and Morty showed up and played Papers. That was so good.
I still think the best episode was the last one, though, about Homelander and Black Noir. I'd probably say that's my favorite of the whole series.
I could watch a whole series based off whoever made that. I'm sure it was the Rick and Morty people because the Rick and Morty voice actor showed up.
My personal favorite was I'm Your Pusher, which was based off the boys' comics entirely.
Oh, yeah, the one where the guy took the drugs and, like, exploded.
Ooh, yeah, that was a good one.
Boy in 3D was okay.
Yeah, that was whatever.
Which one?
It was the one where she turned herself into a cat girl because they had that face.
Oh, yeah. Thing. Yeah, that one was interesting.
It's all right.
Nubian versus Nubia with the girl wanting her parents back together. I was down until the really weird sex scene that you knew took out a neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, that one went on a bit too long.
Yeah, it was an okay episode.
John and Sun Heat. Oh my god, that was very beautiful.
Oh yeah, that was one of the good ones.
You know who wrote that?
Who?
Andy friggin' Samberg.
Really?
What?
The comedian Andy Samberg wrote that episode.
Dude, yes. She was in Dragon Ball Instant Transmission at the end. I was like, oh, I wish we got to see that fight scene.
A story about not being able to let go of your loved ones when it's time, and an emotional roller coaster that was
had from
a
I-9.
Lot of depth to it. Was written by Jake frickin' Peralta. Sorry. Dale from Chip and Dale.
Yeah. Popstar never stopped popping. He was in that movie. Anyway. I think my favorite one was the Rick and Morty style episode. I could watch a whole series like that.
So that was my least favorite.
What?
Really?
I bet you didn't like Boob Face. I bet you didn't like Boob Face.
It was that. It just felt like it was grotesque and violent for no reason to add no story. I felt at least the violence and all the others had a point to the story.
Papers was just straight out of Rick and Morty.
Because that was the Rick and Morty voice actor.
It was the same type of humor, just rambling on about stupid nonsense. It was hilarious.
I don't know, that montage where the boombox face played and they just killed him. That was good. Boombox face.
But yeah, so... altogether, I'd give The Boys Diabolical a 7 out of 10.
What was everybody's favorite episode? Because I know
said
we kind
mine,
of threw them in
I think around. I think Will said his favorite one was the Will, yours was the one that was based off the comic where the guy took the drugs.
I changed my mind. It's the Homelander origin.
Yeah, okay, that's Geller's favorite one, too.
Yeah, that's I have the same favorite. Asher, what was your...
I think he not seen it? He hasn't finished
he
yet.
Did doubt. He didn't watch anything past Laser Baby's Day Out.
So you only watched the first episode. Okay. Yeah, I would definitely
recommendations.
I would definitely take another season of Boys Diabolical.
Reminded me a lot of Star Wars Visions, which is another show I really want to rewatch because some of those episodes were really good.
Hey, they be releasing them Funko Pops.
I know. They need to release the Juro from the one episode where all the Jedi were Sith.
The ninth Jedi?
I need them to do a Geo Pop.
Geode.
I'm gonna buy five of them. I don't care. I'm buying five geodes.
I really wish they just dressed them up in a little robe.
No.
Can we just talk about how genius marketing it would be if they just put rocks in a Star Wars Black Series box and just called it geode and sold them for $20 a piece?
Good. People would buy
it. Yep, they'd buy it.
All right, yeah, let's do recommendations. We're about to hit an hour and a half. Let's do it.
All right, so movie, what you got?
I will say very clearly, and maybe we could talk about this next week, I did watch The Adam Project, which is that Netflix original movie with Ryan Reynolds and Mark Ruffalo.
I'm watching it this weekend.
Zoe Saldana, Jennifer something, I can't think of it. I liked that movie quite a bit. I thought it was a nice throwback to, like, Back to the Future, E.T., all that stuff. I thought that's what it was going for, and I think it did a good job. Very family, fun movie. So that's my movie. TV show, I know this is very stereotypical, but I think Geller and I are about to rewatch the actual The Boys seasons 1 and 2 because season 3 is right around the corner. And honest to God, it's been a while since we've watched that.
Oh, it was last year.
It was 2 years ago.
Semester.
Yeah, so him and I are gonna. I think him and I are gonna go back and watch those first two seasons for the rest of this semester, and then comic book. You got me a new Daredevil comic book, Will, because you missed me so much. I miss you too, buddy. It sucks, but I know you'll be in town here in the next couple months for your new family member coming soon, right?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So we will have that, and that is my three things. Who wants to go next?
Geller, what's your movie and I guess books, since your TV show is The Boys as well.
Oh, I'm gonna go with a different TV show, but I guess I can just say Star Wars Visions, like just especially certain episodes, because I feel like it kind of just came and went, and I feel it was a very underrated project that I would love to have a season 2 for. For comic book,
It's Omnibus.
Okay, I'm gonna recommend the Boba Fett Omnibus. Which basically, I think they're all legend stories now, or they might be, I'm not really sure. But it has some of Boba's greatest stories for those of you who are like me and still disappointed about the Book of Boba Fett, so it'll give some content with him. And then for movie, I have kind of an untraditional one. Like, it's not necessarily a movie, but it plays out like a movie. And me and Kenzie really liked it and have played through it.
Kenzie is his fiance.
Yes. She is.
Shout out to Kenzie if she's listening.
Yes, she's great. I love her. But basically, it's a PlayStation exclusive game called Until Dawn, and it's
I love Until Dawn.
Oh yeah.
With the Wendigo.
Yeah, don't spoil anything though, because it's one of those games slash like you can watch it as a movie, but it's a Telltale type of thing to where you affect all the plot points essentially. And, yeah, if you don't have access to play it, I recommend at least watching somebody play it.
Jeff.
It plays out like a movie. And no matter what happens, it's always a great story and ride. And there's a bunch of different ways it can play out.
So my movie is a DC Showcase Blue Beetle. They went back to the Charlton Comics era before DC bought them out. And it's a really fun watch.
Oh, when did they release
that? They treat it like a 60s Batman episode.
When did they release that? I haven't seen it.
It came out with Batman the Long Halloween Part 2 as an extra.
Yeah, okay.
My series is Troll Hunters. I've been watching that because I've got kids here now. So more of the adult shows are not doing much. Or The Legends of Vox Machina. That one's really good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that medieval mercenary show?
We saw an ad for that with Amazon. Him, Geller and I might try watching that.
It's really good. Is it live up? Okay.
It lives up to the hype.
I need to watch.
For my book,
I
just got in Captain Marvel or Shazam's Celebration of 75 Years.
Oh,
face.
I just realized.
So until then, guys, we have a new surprise coming out for you soon.
Like
I said, big things are coming this year. So keep an eye out and stay geeky.
Stay geeky, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.